with eyes on Jesus, I'll slip away to heaven's beauty and perfect day. I'll see my Savior when I am gone. My hope is steadfast, my faith is strong. Through gates of pearl,
on streets of gold,
surrounded by
the saints of old,
I'll join with loved ones at the throne. On the day when I go home, when I go home,
no mind can fathom the glory there, no separation, no pain to bear, because of Jesus the price was paid. I'll sing forever, amazing grace, through gates of pearl, on streets of gold, surrounded by the saints of old. I'll join with loved ones at the throne on the day
Timothy chapter 1, please. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Thank you for the Pastor Angel for the opportunity to preach here in English Church. And I'm extremely humbled. There are many men here in this auditorium who could get up here and preach better than I. And I appreciate the opportunity to preach God's Word. I don't take it lightly. It's God's calling in my life, and it's something I take very very serious. It's good to see Ethan this morning here. Beside Brother Scott, I met Ethan 2 weeks ago out fishing. And he had a Bible in his hand. He was out praying and looking for a church. And I told him, well, I know of a church. And he's here this morning. And Ethan, thank you for being here this morning. Okay, it's a pleasure to see you here. 1 Timothy chapter 1. If you're there, let's stand in the honor of reading God's Word. 1 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to read verses 12 through 17. Our text verse for this morning is verse 17, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Just follow as I read along. The Bible says, "And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy," amen, "because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to live everlasting. Text verse for this morning, verse 17 says, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the rain, little rain we got today. Thank you for a great group that's here this morning. Thank you for the visitors that are here, Lord. And I especially ask this morning, Lord, that if there's anyone here, visitor or not visitor, a passerby or maybe a person, longtime member, young person, teenager, that's here that's not saved, Lord, that does not know 100% that they would go to heaven the day they die, Lord, that today may be the day of salvation for them. Pray for us, Lord, as a church, to be humble towards your word. Help us receive it with tender heart, Lord, and help us do your will. I pray, Lord, that you take all the honor and the glory this morning. In your name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I always have liked adventure. I have always liked a challenge. And in college, I heard of the great activity around Labor Day weekend, on Labor Day, actually, when we go, all the college gets on a bus, 4 o'clock in the morning, drive up to Wisconsin, I think it's called Wolf River, and go out whitewater rafting. I think, Brother Mike, you did that. I think almost every generation did, and it is a blast. I remember I was on the raft with my then best friend, one of my friends, Pedro, which later on became my brother-in-law, so be careful with your friends. And we were on this boat and on this raft. We were having a good time, and we were going through on the Wolf River, seeing the rocks and the ledges and cruising, and nothing had been too difficult thus far. And we finally get towards the end. I don't know, it's a couple-hour float down the river, and we get to the very end, and to finish off, there is a waterfall, the biggest waterfall of the trip. And I remember as we had, there was other rafts with other college students in front of us, and we had seen some of them had not gone straight over the waterfall and had flipped as they went over. And I was thinking in my head, man, that'd be kind of fun to flip right at the end. Just get wet. Just get soaked. So we get closer and closer, and there was a raft of two girls in front of us. They go over, and they flip. And I'm thinking, okay, my turn. We get to the edge of the waterfall, and I'll finish the story at the end of the message. Okay? We see here in the verses we just read. I'm serious. I'll finish it later. You guys thought I was going to finish. Verse 17, our text verse for this morning. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, and then it says there, invisible. Invisible. A little bit of the context that we're reading this morning. We have Paul writing to the young preacher, Timothy. Paul was in his old age. He had already worked in the ministry. In fact, most of his ministry had been done. Now it is had come time in his ministry to encourage the next generation. And I just want to say this before I go get into it. For the young people in here, well, more of a challenge to the elder people, the older people. It's good to encourage the younger generation. It's good to hear it from preachers. It's good to hear it from the leaders, the authority in church. But members of Faith Baptist Church, these young people need to hear encouragement from you. They need it. They needed, some of them already encouraged to get into the ministry because they were never encouraged at home to work in ministry. Right. Some of them were never encouraged to serve in their local church because their parents never encouraged them to. Right. Amen. Hey, us young, I consider myself a younger man. And I love to hear the stories of the great revivers of old, revivals of old. I love to hear the stories when there was fiery preaching and people were coming and flooding the altar. Hey, the young people need to listen to this. We need the encouragement. Challenge to the older generation that's in this room. A lot of times older people get quiet or grumpy. But hey, you know what? Young people don't just need to sit in silence around an older generation. It's good to hear encouragement. Amen. This is what Paul was doing for Timothy. He was encouraging him in the ministry. We find Paul in verse 12 acknowledging who had strengthened him in the ministry. Verse 12 says, "And I thank who? Christ. Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." Ministry is a great thing. Amen. It is a privilege. To work with people and disciple people and win people to the Lord and bring them to church and have them baptized and then have them sitting in church and going soul winning. It is a blessing. Amen. It is a privilege. Amen. Paul was saying that he was acknowledging that what he was doing was because of Christ Jesus. Same verse, we see that who had put Paul in the ministry. And I just want to say this, God's calling to the ministry is a privilege to the one who is called. And for the one who is called and does not serve in ministry, he will never have the peace and contentment that God has in store for him. Amen. In verse 13, we see here in verse 13, it says, "Who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, an injurious? But I obtain mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." Paul recounts who he used to be when he didn't know Jesus as his Savior. For the man that were in Sunday school, we got a little glimpse of Brother Netterville's past, his testimony. And hey, it's good sometimes to look back. It's good to look back, not to stand in awe or stand in wonder or not to dwell in past sins, but to stand in awe of God's mercy in our life. Amen. This is important. Amen. So to think back of where God pulled you from out of the miry clay and transformed you into the new creature you are today. Amen. This is what Paul was talking about. Verse 14, we see that which is greater than our sin, his precious grace. And the grace of our Lord Jesus was exceeding abundant. Exceeding abundant, that which can cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is the grace of our Heavenly Father. And let me tell you this, visitor or friend that's here, salvation only comes through grace, through faith. In Jesus Christ. After Paul recounts this, his ministry and his salvation, his testimony, in verse 17, we see that he describes God, describes the God that he has come to know. After all this, he after years in ministry, he describes God in these several words in verse 17. "Now unto the King eternal, ruler of all forever, eternal." Amen. That's our Jesus Christ. Amen. Says immortal, forever existing, never created, never dying, everlasting God. Amen. That's him. Amen. Then we see invisible, the unseen. Interesting. Then the last thing we see there in verse 17, the only wise God. There is none other like the God of the Bible, omniscient, all-knowing, none other greater than him. Amen. The description that Paul, that I want to emphasize this morning in verse 17 is invisible. The title of my message this morning is Seeing the Invisible. Seeing the Invisible. the one that cannot be seen, the one that works in mysterious ways. Speaking of Jesus in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 says, who is in the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. God does not operate in our realm, church. This is why he is omnipresent. He is everywhere at all times. This is why he is omniscient. He is all-knowing. This is why he is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. This is why he is eternal. He is foreverlasting. For us in our finite minds, it's totally impossible to completely understand God's nature. But let me tell you, hey, if we were able to understand the nature of God, God would not be God. I am glad that the God of the Bible cannot be described or explained with our scientific or our eloquent language. Our God is a big God. He is a great and mysterious, and he is also invisible. The Bible at various times talks about the invisible God. And today I just want to take a few points about how we can today see the invisible God. I want you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, please. Hebrews chapter 11. We are going to get the rest of the passage from the rest of the message from this passage here. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 23. I'm going to read chapter 11, verse 23, all the way down to verse 27. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the sons of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ's greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Look at it in verse 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Number one this morning, how can we see the invisible, Brother Danny? Number one, to see the invisible, one needs to refuse to identify with the world. Verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the sons of Pharaoh's daughter. Now we know a little about the story of Moses. Moses was born a Hebrew at a time when Pharaoh wanted to kill every newborn male in Egypt. Moses' parents made the decision to protect their baby, to put their son in an ark of bulrushes and set him in the river. Hey, you know what? Moses' parents had some sense. My wife was telling me of a story of a 19-year-old girl that had killed, had given birth in a bathroom, and put her baby in a trash can, left it to die. And I think, who in their right mind would do something like that? Demonic. It's demonic. It's what it is. And we see abortion and the killing of innocent little babies in the womb. And now even after giving birth, up into conception, that's sin. And let me tell you, hey, Jochebed had a little bit more sense than these women nowadays. She protected her baby at all costs. Hid her baby for 3 months. You ever had a Ever gone by the nursery? It's always quiet. Let me tell you something. They worked. They put in the work to protect their little baby boy. And when she could not protect him anymore, she made a hard decision to make an ark and put pitch in it and made an ark out these bulrushes and set them in the river. We know the story. He floated down the river down to Pharaoh's daughter, which she looked at the baby boy and said, hey, this is a Hebrew boy. Let me find a Hebrew woman to take care of him. And guess who he got? Moses' mama. It's a great story. But you know what? Moses grew up in an environment in Egypt. Egypt is a picture of the world. It represents that, all that is against God, all that is against his word. It represents separation from God. And as Moses grew up, he knew who he was. He knew his godly heritage. He knew the effort that mom had put into saving his precious life. And he grew up and said, you know what? I don't want to be identified with the sons of Pharaoh's daughter. I am not going to be identified with the world. I'm not going to be identified with that and with them that are against God. Verse 25, his faith led him to choosing before being mistreated, to being mistreated with the Hebrew people than being protected with the world. He knew that the pleasures of sin, of identifying with worldliness, would never satisfy. It won't, young person. Doesn't matter how good it looks. Doesn't matter how much fun they're looking to have in the world. Hey, it's never going to satisfy. He knew this. As children of God, as Christians, we have the joy of having a fellowship with God every single day. We can experience the presence of God. We can experience his power and his love. We can experience his spirit and have a communion and fellowship with him. We can have the comfort of his spirit. Hey, but the only way to do it, the only way to have a communion and hold on to the invisible hand is to refuse to be identified with the world. Bible teaches it over and over again. You guys know it, Romans chapter 12. Be not conformed to this world. James 4:4, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Seems like a lot of Christians have forgot that today. I'm talking about independent Baptists. I'm not talking about the church down the street. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Moses understood this. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is enemy of God. Refuse. Just like Moses did, refuse to be called the sons of Pharaoh's daughter. Refuse to do what the world does. You want to be able to see the invisible? Refuse to do it. You know, it's something independent Baptists called separation. I think you guys have heard about it before. Amen. Separation from the world. Separation from worldliness. Separation from apathetic being neither hot nor cold. Amen. Refuse to do what the world does. Amen. You can experience the full blessings of God to do what Moses did. Simply refuse to identify with the world. It's hard to be holding God's invisible hand while you walk through the valley of conformity and compromise. Oh, I see it every week. A lot of times with newer Christians. A lot of times with people that are struggling with addictions and vices. Pastor, I want to get right with God. I want to be serious. And they want to hold on. They want to see the invisible God. They want to hold on to his invisible hand and hold on to a liquor bottle at home. Doesn't work that way. Pastor, I want to do. I want my marriage to do well. I want to hold on to the hand of the invisible God, but in your cell phone, you're looking at things that it ain't going to help your marriage. Trust me. It doesn't work that way. Amen. Oh, you know what, Pastor? I really want to live a pure life, Pastor. I want to be pure when I get to the altar. I want to hold on to God's invisible hand until I get there. But then again, you're dating someone you don't have approval to date, or texting someone that your parents don't approve of. It doesn't work that way. Amen. Refuse to be identified with the world. Oh, I want victory in my life. I want to be a spirit-filled Christian. I want to hold on to God's invisible hand, but listen to my inappropriate music at home or in the car. That's not the type of Christianity the Bible teaches. Amen. That's not the type of Christianity that the pastor that has stood behind this pulpit for over 30 years teaches. Amen. It's called separation. And some young people and some Christians and some parents in this room, maybe you need to, refuse to be identified with the world so you can hold on to that invisible hand. Amen. To see the invisible. It's hard to be holding God's invisible hand while you walk through the valley of conformity and compromise. Amen. Point number one, we see to see in the invisible, one needs to refuse to identify with the world. Number two, to see the invisible, one simply needs to have faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of what? Of who? Of Christ. Greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. This chapter we know is the chapter of faith, heroes of faith who did great things for God, and among them, we are reading about Moses. We know from the timeline, Moses was born a little earlier than Jesus was. But the application is still the same. Moses was looking forward to the Savior. He was looking forward to the one that was going to bear our sins on the cross. And he was not ashamed. Amen. Today, we have the great privilege to look back at what Jesus did on the cross for us. Amen. Of which we are not to be ashamed of. Amen. You really want to enjoy the invisible? You really want to see him? You want to see his presence and his power and his peace, his word and his promises? You will need to look with faith in the one that God has sent us, his ambassador, Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men where we must be saved. It's Jesus. 1 John 2:1-2, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The only way to see in the invisible, young person, the only way to see in the invisible, visitor, the only way to see the invisible, hey, Christian, is to see him through Jesus. Amen. There is no other way. There is no other person. There is no other religion. There is no work, good deed you can do. It has to be through Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Hey, church, we just need to get back to Jesus. Amen. Just get back to Jesus. Instead of wanting to imitate a podcaster or a YouTuber, instead of wanting to imitate someone off the internet or a NFL player or an NBA player, hey, how about we just imitate Jesus Christ this morning? How about we just focus on what he did for us and how he lived and what he did and when he preached and how he loved? And how about we just do the same? Amen. That's what we need to do. Right. You want to see the invisible God? You got to see him. You got to see him through Jesus. Amen. It's the only way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So we see point number one. In order to see invisible, we have to see the invisible. We have to refuse to be identified with the world. This is what Moses did. In order to see the invisible, we have to see him through Jesus. What happens after this? Verse 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Last point this morning. When you see the invisible, after you have made the conscious decision, after you have made the conviction in your life to refuse to be identified with the world, and after you have acknowledged that the only way to see the invisible is through Jesus Christ, when you get to see him, when you get to you live the Christian life and the fulfilled Christian life that God wants you to have, he will give you the strength to endure even in face of adversity. We go back to the story of Moses. He had refused to be identified with Egypt. And he killed that Egyptian. He left and went out to the desert. And God spoke to him through a bush, a burning bush. Told him, Moses, you're the one that's going to lead my people out of bondage. That's what he did. With a little help. He went back to Egypt, Aaron by his side. Through the plagues and through the death and the hail and the fire, God brought Israel out of the world, out of Egypt. As they get out, we know that God had a plan to protect Israel, the Hebrew people, in the desert. Fire at night and clouds in the day. God had interceded for them. He had protected them. And as they were traveling through the desert, they reached a sea, the Red Sea, the Bible says. And Moses put his staff in the water, and the water parted. And those 1 million plus Hebrew people crossed the Red Sea on dry land. And as they reached the other side, the Egyptians were hot on their tail. And when they thought they could take advantage of God's protection of the Hebrew people, they were in for a surprise. And the water came a-tumbling down. And God protected the Hebrew people that day, killing the Egyptians in the Red Sea. And time after time, after time, after time, we see the invisible hand of God working in the lives of the Israelites because of the faith and covenant they had with him. Dear brother, friend or visitor, I'm encouraging you this morning. I want to remind you that you too can hold on to this invisible hand. Remember the waterfall? Me and my brother-in-law were about to get to the edge of the waterfall when all of a sudden our boat also, here we go, plopped into the water, and I don't remember how high of a fall it was, but we were in the water, we were swimming, and you know, a river has a current, goes one way, but for some reason at that waterfall, it was doing this. And I remember my brother-in-law and I consider myself a decent swimmer. And I was thinking, I could do this. I could get out. When I noticed that I was getting closer to the waterfall and not farther away, I had seen my brother-in-law grab onto a rock that was at the very corner of the waterfall where he was protected. He could hold on, keep above water. The current took me right smack dab in the middle of that waterfall. The water was hitting me on the head, on the neck, and it was pushing me down. Luckily, I had a life vest. For once, for the life vest, I don't think I'd be here telling this story. And someone else. It seemed like 3-4 minutes I was swimming for my life, trying to swim against the current. I was trying to save my own life. And I was swimming forward. I was swimming backward. I was swimming like this, and I could not get out. I had come to the point. Honest, I had come to the point when I told God in that moment, unto you I commend my spirit. I had gotten to the point where I said, you know what? I'm not going to make it out of here. I got to that point. And I was gasping and for air and grabbing for any hope. When through the foam and the bubbles, there was a hand that was reaching out that I could not see. And that hand pulled me out of that waterfall. Young person, church member, visitor this morning, if you're lost, you're trying to save your own life and you're trying to live the best life and you're trying to swim any way you can to be satisfied now, to save yourself, but you know what? You can't. There is an invisible hand that is there waiting for you to reach out for salvation. Think of the song, The Unseen Hand. I had written them in my notes. I have no idea where they went. There is an invisible hand, the power of the invisible, that is there for every single one of us to live a victorious Christian life. A life over your enemies, a life over sin, a victory over sin and victory over the world. Hey, just refuse to be identified with the world. Amen. Remember to keep Jesus at the focus. Yeah. And at your lowest point, at your lowest moment, be it with cancer or with sickness or with a trial or with death in the family, hey, where you are burdened, hey, remember there is an invisible hand there for you. Amen. Time's going to come. I went with preacher to make some hospital visits this week, and man, some people have it tough. I just pray for my own life when I am at the lowest low. I remember that I can always reach out to the unseen hand. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the cross, the blood. Thank you for salvation. Lord, I pray that if there is anyone in this room that is not saved, that today be the day of salvation. In just a few moments, the music is going to start. And if God spoke to your heart this morning, now is the time. Maybe you, Christian, have strayed from being identified with the world. And you know you need to get back. Just get back to doing right. Maybe you're here and you forgot about Jesus. You're just living the Christian life that you've always lived, just routine. But it hasn't gotten real. Maybe you strayed. And maybe you're here this morning and you need to be saved. You're trying to save your own life. Just reach out to the hand that Jesus has stretched forth. Miss Naomi, please. Come this morning. I want to ask anyone in here this morning. Maybe you're here and you say, Brother Danny, I've been swimming on my own. I've been trying to reach my own salvation. I've been trying to work at it, but I can't get there. I need to reach out for that unseen hand. Is there anyone this morning that says, Brother Danny, I'm not saved. I'm not 100% sure that if I died today, I would go to heaven. I need to accept Jesus Christ this morning. I need to reach out. Anyone here, raise your hand. Someone would love to talk to you this morning about how you can know for sure that when you die, you could go to heaven. Oh, church. God has been so good to us. He has saved you out of the miry clay. He has saved you from a life of sin, of condemnation. But you've turned your back. And instead of holding on to the unseen hand, you're holding on to the world. It's pleasure.